Well, hey, that's what we say in North Carolina. Hey, I'm going to teach you that. So here we go. Hey.
Hey.
Well, I drove up here, and when I left my house, it was 70 degrees. Did you all order this blanket of snow just for me? It was beautiful, though, driving through all of that. And I've got to say, 3 years ago in 2014, when I got to come here, I met Phyllis and Laverne, and I want to just say that I believe with everything in me that God is all about bookending things, our stories. And so how amazing is it? I don't know how many of you know their story, but I've kind of followed it along the way, and for God to bring me here as He was getting ready to take Laverne to heaven is just a sweet place for me. So, I've got to share this. I wasn't going to share this right out of the gate, but I have to, because that's one of the things I think I talked to you about last time. When God knocks on your heart, He's telling you, you need to pay attention and do what I'm calling you to do. So throughout my life, I've been doing this for 17 years. First, I did it for 13 years with Proverbs 31 Ministries, and now with Encouragement Cafe since... All right, can you hear me now? Woo! I told you I feel at home here. I wouldn't let everybody do that. So there's this little lull in the time that, you know, I can't remember another song, and the natives are restless and they're starting to bang again, and all of a sudden my mom goes, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day." She had forgotten my name. She didn't know me, but she never forgot the one who saved her. So when you sang that song tonight, it was like, I got to share it. I've got to share it. You know, God has a plan for you. And He is someday going to take you home. And I know that my mom and dad probably just were running around heaven with Laverne when he showed up and said, "Hey, I understand my daughter was down there with you. And hey, let's go run around heaven together." So it's just so sweet that God would bring me at the beginning of that journey and at the end. And I love you, girl. So tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about trusting people, trusting God. And who I want to ask you, who you trust in your life. I mean, I know for me, I trust my husband. He drove us here. He's in the hotel right now. He's retired now, so he can do that. But as I said, I have 10 grandchildren. And every summer, we invite them to our house for a week to do grandma-grandpa camp. And there are no parents allowed. Can I see some grandparent hands right now? Isn't it always better without the parents? The minute the parents walk in the door, they turn into people you don't recognize. Like, what? So we just say, "You guys are not allowed in the house. You're not allowed here. We'll steal the kids. We'll keep them for a week. And you guys just go somewhere. We don't care where." So this last year, now my grandkids range from 13 down to 2. And so the 13-year-old, the 4 oldest, they've been coming for quite a few years. And I have 3 rules. And the first rule is no touching each other for any reason. We all know it's going to end up badly if they start touching each other. Number 2 is no whining, unless there's blood, vomiting, or fever. No whining. And I had my youngest, the 6-year-old at the time when he was the youngest, he came and he was rubbing his eyes. And I was like, "Stephen, what's rule number 2? And he goes, but this is what I do. I'm like, you don't do it at grandma's house. Knock it off. So there's no whining. And number three is do what we say immediately. And so I sit them down at the beginning of the week and I say, okay, if we do these three rules, and the oldest ones know the rules by heart, and so they're training up the younger ones. I got that whole mentoring Titus, you know, kind of thing going on. So they're teaching the younger ones this. And so you would think that my husband would learn it. Not so much. So we get a big group of them this time, and some of the younger ones couldn't come. So we ended up with six, and I had the four older ones. No, I ended up with seven. See, I lose track of those little guys. But we live on a 93-acre lake, and we have a pedal boat. And so the older ones said, they went running to the back of the yard as soon as we got there, and they wanted to go out in the paddle boat. And they wanted to go down to the other end. Well, I am trying to take care of the younger ones and get them on the swing and get them all doing stuff. And all of a sudden I look up and I realize the kids are headed for the boat. And I bet Grandpa didn't remind them of all the rules. And so I'm running and I'm trying to take off after them. And they're all the way down the lake a little bit. And I said, did you take the life jackets? Yes, Grandma. We got. Did Grandpa tell you to stay next to the shore in case you get in trouble? Yes, Grandma. We know. Okay. And about half an hour went by. And I started getting this ugh in my stomach, like something's not right. And I told my husband, I think I need to get in the car and drive down where I can see them somewhere down the lake. And he said, oh, they'll be fine. And I said, why did you let them go out before I had a chance to go and tell them all the rules? And he's like, they'll be fine. Well, I look across and I see this golf cart across the lake just speeding like crazy. And it looks like it's full of kids. And I'm like, wow. And then there's one running behind. And then about 5 minutes later, they come running through the front yard, screaming and crying and yelling. And I said, what are you doing? Where's the boat? What happened? And they said, David, the 13-year-old, the one who is all wise in the cousin group, David told us it was okay. And I said, what? What was okay? Well, you know that little island down at the other end of the lake? Well, David told us that we should get off and go on the island. Well, this is just a little deserted piece of land in the middle of it. Nobody goes on that little island. But they decided it was a good idea, and they all followed David, got out, and they all got attacked by bees. And so they were screaming, and there was a golfer that heard them, threw them all. One of the kids did not get stung, so he was the one running behind. And they were like, they had stings. Luckily, God protected them and none of them were allergic. But I was like, we have not had them home for an hour and we almost killed four of them. Now they tell that story over and over and over, and it gets bigger every time they tell it. They're like, I had stings all over. And I sat them down. I had them all jump in the shower, and I got them all doused up with stingies. And I said, guys, I want to have this be a lesson. Who do you trust? Now, I know that David is the oldest one of the cousins, and you thought that he knew what he was telling you to do. But he had never been on that island, and he didn't know. But you followed him. So David was not right, but neither were you for following him into places where you should not be. And so today I want to just take us to John chapter 6. And God says, I have a plan for you. Now, you may trust your mom, you may trust your dad, you may trust your husband, and maybe you trust your older cousin. But God says, do you trust me? Do you trust me with your story? And every single one of us has a story. I mean, Laverne had a story. And as his story sped up towards the end, I hear great things that he could not help but declare God in every aspect of his life. And so God says, do you trust me with your story? So I want to read this. If you could just flash that up for me, my old eyes would do much better there than here. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Now, I want to just stop there for a minute. Because they saw the signs, they were following Jesus. Because they thought, wow, maybe he could do something for me too. I want to be part of that, whatever's happening. Wherever the crowd's going, I want to be part of it. I hear he's doing all these great things, and so I want to join in. I want to be part of that. So Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus then took the loaves. He had given thanks. He distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." You know, I want to just reflect on this for a minute, because when you think about this story, you know, you think about Jesus taking this and expanding it. God is in the multiplying business, isn't he? He's great at multiplication. But I want to just step back and take a look at the little boy. Now, this little boy came to this big event prepared. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, some mama packed his lunch. Now, I don't know about you, how many of you have little kids that you still pack lunches for? And sometimes they don't want to eat what you packed, right? This little boy, out of all of these people, was the only one who came prepared. His mama, I'm thinking, packed his lunch. So when you think about this little boy, and here is this opportunity, and Jesus is saying, okay, there are circumstances and there's situations and there's things that happen in our life that we're not prepared for. And those people that went there that day, they weren't prepared to get hungry. They weren't prepared for what God was going to do. They weren't prepared. And maybe as you've been going through this last year, you've had a lot of circumstances bump into your happy. Maybe there have been some things that have gone on with you that you're just like, I don't know. I don't like this circumstance right now, but I'm not prepared to handle it. I don't know where I'm going to get my fill. I don't know how God's going to take care of this. Has anybody ever in this room, and I'm going to be honest, I'm one, has anybody in this room ever wondered how in the world God was going to handle it for you? Anybody? The rest of y'all lying. We all wonder that sometimes. We all wonder how in the world is this going to happen? But God says, I need you to trust the process. Now let's think about what God did when they brought him all the food, the few loaves of barley, loaves, and the two fish. Now you think about it from the little kid's point of view. Can you imagine? I can think about my grandkids going, hey, sorry about your luck, but I brought my food. Don't know about you guys. But this little boy turned his lunch over to Jesus. Now that took a little bit of courage. It took a lot of trust. I mean, all of a sudden, he's handing his lunch to this guy. Maybe he's never seen Jesus before. He's just heard. And maybe you've never really experienced Jesus for yourself. You've just heard. Maybe there's this guy that you know really changes lives, and you've gone to church your whole life, and you've heard about it, but you've never really experienced something magnificent in your life where you've watched him do that great thing. Well, this little boy was about to see this happen in life. And there are times in our life when God says, I need you to give me what you've got as an offering. This little boy gave his offering to Jesus willingly, handed it over. And then Jesus said, sit down on the grass. Have the people sit down on the grass. Now, God knew in advance that all these people were going to come. He didn't have them sitting, have a place where there was no place for them to sit down. And when you think about it, 5,000 men were there, but that didn't include the women and the children. So some estimates say that there could have been 20 to 25,000 people in the grass. Can you wrap your brain around how much room that had to take up? That's a stadium. Do you guys have a stadium around here anywhere? A big stadium, that's how big this was. And this little boy brings his offering. And sometimes God's just saying, I know you don't see it, and I know you don't understand why I'm asking for your little bit. But if you give me your little bit, I'm going to show you what trust looks like. If you trust me with this little bit of offering. But then, can you imagine what the little boy thought when Jesus started breaking his bread? He started breaking it. Now, you know that he had to break it into a lot of pieces as he was praying over it. And Jesus said he gave thanks for this offering. He lifted it up to God and he thanked God for it. When you give your offering, when you give whatever God is asking you to give, he takes it and he asks God to bless this girl, bless this guy, bless this offering, and Lord, help me to show them your power in this moment. And that little boy had to sit there in awe, going, what? And I don't know what is broken in your life, but I think about that, those broken pieces. Have you ever thought about God is asking you to bring your little bit, to bring your offering, and He's going to take it sometimes and break it so it can be used and multiplied and grow? I remember 3 years ago, when I was here, 3 years ago, God asked me to be undivided. And I remember at that time, I choose a word at the beginning of every year. And I say, God, I don't want to do a New Year's resolution. I want you to filter my life through a word. And so this word was undivided. And every time I turned around, I kept seeing that word in Scripture. And in every time I would pray, I would just see that word. So I said, okay. And God knew that my life was so busy. I owned a real estate company. And I had another little company, and I was speaking for Proverbs 31, and I was doing this radio program, Encouragement Cafe. Now, let me tell you, Encouragement Cafe came about because I happened to be in the right place at the right time, you know, kind of like these people that were in the right place at the right time, sitting in the grass, watching God do something that only He could do. This radio station had called me and said, would you come and we're talking about a women's topic. Would you come and just be a guest on the show? So I was. And they said, Luann, would you prayerfully consider doing a show for women? I was like, what? That was not on my radar. But I went home that night and I told my husband, hey, they've asked me to do a radio program for women. And he said, well, honey, you didn't open this door. God did. You need to walk through it. I said, okay. The next morning was Sunday and I went to my pastor and I said, Bill, would you help me pray over this? And he said, you said yes, didn't you, Prater? And I said, no, I said I would pray about it. He said, yeah, right after you said yes, because you didn't open this door, God did. You need to walk through it. I said, okay. So the next day I called Lisa Turkhurst at Proverbs and said, Lisa, they've asked me to do this radio show and I want to make sure I'm in line with whatever the ministry's doing. And she said, oh, honey, we've been praying that God would open doors that only He could open. You walk through it. So I said, okay. I called the radio station the next day and I said, I'm in. I don't know what it looks like. And they said, Luann, you can make it about anything you want. But all we know is that when you're on, we have a surge in our women callers. They call in because they want to talk to you. And so they're comfortable with you. And I said, okay. So that's when we started praying about, okay, God, what do you want this to look like? And where do you go when you want to talk to your girlfriends? You go have coffee. You sit down and have lunch together. You share life. And so we named it Encouragement Cafe. And the very next day, I went to my girlfriend, who's a hairdresser, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I said yes to the radio station. And she said, really? I said, yeah. And you know what, though? I would really love to talk to somebody who's been down this road before. I'd love to know, like, Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages. I said, I know his wife, Carolyn, would have just such words of wisdom. And she said, she's under the hairdryer. I said, shut up. She is not. She said, I promise you, she's right there. She usually comes in on Friday, and this other girl in the shop does her hair, but she came in on Tuesday this week. I went over and I plopped down beside her and I said, hi. She's got the hair dryer on her head. Hi, you don't know me, but this is what God is calling me to do. And she said, oh, Luann, God is going to provide and He's going to use your story and your testimony. And Gary and Carolyn Chapman have walked with me every step of the way through this crazy adventure. So 3 years ago, God said, "You're hanging on to everything, and I need you to be undivided." And I talked to my husband, who was retiring, and I said, I've got to let go of the things that produce money. And he was a little nervous. So I called the girls that worked for me in the real estate company, and I said, "I'm going to shut down. So I want you to go find somewhere else to work." And then my son and his wife had just gotten married, and I said, "Do you guys want this little business?" And they said, "Sure." So I gave that business away. And at the time, I was just doing 20 hours a week on the radio station. And I was like, okay. God, I got undivided. Now you see that my income has taken a nosedive and my husband has retired. And here's my little, got anything for me? And he was just patting my sweet little head, you know. You know how God just is the master of making us wait. And he was saying, "Do you trust me, Luann? Do you trust me?" And I said, "Yes, God." And I was so on my knees. I was on my knees because I wanted to believe. And I had to pray, "God, help me in my unbelief. Help me as I wonder what's going to happen next." Well, I got a phone call from the radio station, the parent company that owns us, and I'm driving down the road and they said, "Luann, we'd like to offer you a full-time job. We'd like for you to keep doing what you're doing, but we want you to go around and do women's events in every one of our markets because we see that God's called you to do this." And so in all these different states now, God knew that I was supposed to go do these women's events, and he knew I would not be able to do them had I kept everything on my plate. God has a story that he wants to fill through you. And he's asking you tonight, what is it that's holding you back? What is it that is broken maybe in your life and you go, no one could ever use my story? And I don't know if you heard my story 3 years ago, but I've got to tell you again. When I was young, my dad took us to church every time the doors were open. Every time. Because in 1956, he went from being a hopeless alcoholic to a sold-out son of God. He went to a revival church meeting in a tent, and he was drunk all the time, but he went because somebody invited him. And when he went forward and gave his heart to Christ, he was on fire for Christ. I mean, he was the obnoxious kind that would put the speakers out on the front porch. It was really fun when you were growing up to have the sermons broadcast to all your neighbors. But Dad was on fire, and he loved Jesus, and he never wanted anybody to mistake him for that hopeless alcoholic again. And he was always inviting people to church. He was always in the church when the doors were open. And so I loved my church. And I always wanted to grow up to be you and you. I wanted to grow up to be you. And then when I was 13, the man who was in charge of the youth did things that he shouldn't have done. And I remember him dropping me off at my front door and saying, "Shh, no one would care. No one will care." And those words just kind of burned inside me. And I believed them, and I related what he did to church and to God. And I ran as far away as I could. And I remember making horrible decisions throughout my life because I was not in church. I was making decisions that affected everybody. But I had a dad who never stopped praying for me. And I remember every time I would go see him, he would say, "I'm praying for you." I'd say, "I know you are, Dad. I'm just not ready yet." And then 25 years, my dad prayed. My dad learned a lot about patience and waiting on God's timing. 25 years went by, and my dad was fighting for his life, congestive heart failure in Indiana, and I made 14 round trips driving back and forth that year. 14 round trips driving up to see Dad in the hospital, and God was stirring in my heart. He was calling me back. He was saying, "I don't care how broken you've been. I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm calling you back." And I remember as clear as day, one Sunday morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I sat straight up in bed and I hit my husband and I said, "I've got to go get baptized today. I've got to go give my heart back to Christ. I've got to turn my life around." And he said, "This couldn't wait till morning." I said, "No," and we went to church, and my kids, I always had my kids in church, but I was a backseat girl, and I was like, I want to make sure they go, but I've been down that road, and I didn't want any part of it. But that day, I went up and I sat about 3 rows back, and my kids all sat with me. And when they gave the altar call, I looked at them and I said, "I'm going forward." And they said, "We're going with you, Mom." We all went forward. We all gave our heart to Christ. It was a point. I went home. And I got on the phone, I called. I said, "Mom, let me talk to Dad. He's in the hospital." And so she puts the phone down by his ear. I said, "Dad, I've given my heart to Christ, and I promise you, I will live the rest of my days on fire. I promise you, I will not turn back. I promise you, from this day forward, I will live for Him." Mom said, "I don't know what you're saying, but he's crying and he's smiling." 8 days later, my dad went home to be with Jesus on their 52nd wedding anniversary. My dad lived out loud for Christ. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what seems impossible to you tonight. And I don't know if you lived a life like I did, where you were just doing pretty much what you wanted to do because you had checked out. And you said, "You know what? I'm too far gone. God would never want me." And can I tell you, for the last 17 years, after 25 years of running, for the last 17 years, God has used my story. And God wants to use your story. This weekend is about declaring who Christ is, how He affects your life, and how He says, "I want you to just bring me what you've got. Bring me your few loaves. Bring me your couple of fish. Bring me your little bit." I want to tell you, too, that I had no idea when I told my dad, "I'm turning around, I am not going to live like that anymore." I had no idea that now, because of being undivided and going where God called me to go, Encouragement Cafe now reaches across the globe. We are reaching hundreds of thousands. We had a signal that we were able to put in South Sudan. And let me tell you that they play the Christian music and they play our messages in their language. But let me tell you what is so mind-blowing. I had no idea that my little broken life would be able to impact people in Sudan. And let me tell you what happened this last year. We put the signal in South Sudan. And we did it specifically on the border, because the Ugandan militants would come across the border, they would steal the women and children, take them back to their village, do horrible things to them, and then kill them. Then go back across the border and get the men. Our signal is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and this: when the militants come across the border, we're able to say, run, hide. And thousands and thousands and thousands have been saved because they've run and they've hid. Go God. Did I have any idea when I just said, God, I'm too broken. I don't know what you want from me, but here's all I've got. You know my story. You know how I had no value because he said no one would care. And I believed it for years. For years. And maybe someone has been breathing that into you. Maybe you've been believing that what you have to offer doesn't matter. But God can take your little, and through his process, he can multiply it in ways that you would never have imagined. In your seat right now is a little piece of paper. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a minute. I want you to hold that paper in your hand while we do this. Heavenly Father, we are falling before your throne. And Lord, we are asking that you reveal those places in our heart. Those places that we've kind of been hiding. Those places that are broken. Those places that keep us from being all that you want us to be. Lord, there are so many in this room right now who have been afraid. They've been silent. And yet, Lord, each one of them has a story. Each one of them, Lord, has the ability to declare what you have done. And every single one is so vital. In your kingdom, God, there's not one any better than the other. Every single part of the body matters. And so, Lord, I want you to reveal to these women right now that one thing, that lie that they've been believing, that one thing that they just never thought they could get past. What is that baggage that they're holding on to, Lord? What's keeping them from being able to declare your glory to everyone and anyone when you knock? Father, I pray that you would highlight it in their mind, that they would feel that tug to just write it down. to write it down and surrender it to you. Lord, we want to trust you. We know that this world is not trustworthy, but you are. You alone, God. We can trust your process with the little bit that we bring to you. May you take this act of faith and multiply it and bless it and grow our faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Multiplying your gift, multiplying your brokenness. Can you think about that little boy for a second? And this little piece of paper really is your loaves and fish. This is you saying, God, I don't have much, but here it is. And you know, I've been not really proud of this. And I'm not really sure if I'm going to see the benefit from it. I mean, that little boy probably thought that, don't you think? He's watching Jesus break up his bread and his fish and distribute it to all these people. Don't you think that that might have gone through his mind? Like, what about me? I'm the only one that brought something. Are you still going to feed me? And what does Jesus do? Gather up all the leftovers. Gather them all up and bring them back. And there was more than he could have ever hoped or imagined. God wants to do that with your little bit. He wants to bring that to the Father and say, God, bless this. Bless this and multiply it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I want you to just be still for a moment. This little boy was willing to bring his little bit. And I want to know tonight, I don't know where you are in your walk. I don't know if you've had a relationship with Jesus forever, but I know for me, I have to lay my cross down every day. I have to say, God, there are still things. We're never going to be perfect until we get to the other side, until we get up there with Mom and Dad and Laverne. We're all going to have things that need to be worked on. And so right now, I'm just asking, that little thing, would you be willing to just bring it? I have a basket up here, and I would love for you to just come, and if there's anyone that needs prayer, I'm going to be standing by the cross. And I would just love, as they sing, if you would just come and bring your little bit of offering to the basket.
Hold my hand.
There was a couple of scriptures left. Would you flash that up there for me? Right at the end? At the end? I'm sorry. This is Becky. Say hi, Becky, to everybody. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Becky has made a decision tonight not to let any of Satan's lies penetrate her anymore. Would you pray with her about that? So she's going to need you. And she wasn't even planning on being here tonight. She didn't even know about this. So I want you to understand your role with one another. You know, the little boy gave his fish and loaves so that everybody could be fed. And you have given of your time and energy and you're here tonight because God says, Becky and everyone else that came forward and you all need one another. We need each other to hold one another up. So I'm going to ask you sometime this weekend if you will make sure that you put your contact information in this basket, because we have prayer warriors that pray, and we send it to our national prayer group, and they pray over all of these names, and they're in that house of worship 24/7. So I want to make sure that you get your name and contact info in this basket sometime over the weekend, because you're going to get out of here after this weekend and Satan's going to slap you again. And you need to know that there are people that are lifting you up to say, be strong, be strong. Becky, in the powerful name of Jesus, we just rebuke any lies. And Father, I pray that this place would be so filled with your Spirit that Satan would be afraid to even darken the parking lot. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just penetrate the women that are here. And then when they wake up in the morning, Satan says, oh no, she's up. Father, I pray that we would have that kind of boldness where we would step out and walk, not just bent over and ashamed, but standing upright that we are new creations. Father God, we love you, and we ask for a special night of rest tonight. When our head hits the pillow, we know that we are yours and nothing can snatch us from your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go sit.